I mean, thinking about not quitting for years is tough right. when you're in the muck.
Absolutely.
But if you're just like, dude, not today.
Yeah.
Just don't quit today.
Just don't do it
like
today.
Like anybody cannot quit today.
Right.
Sometimes that's the way that you survive to hopefully get to the point where you're thriving, right?
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley. As always, Kilo G.
What's up?
Guys, today we have a guest, a special guest, an inner circle guest. I think he's the first inner circle RBO member that's been on the podcast.
I know, dude. I'm pumped to have you.
Yeah. Cohen DeYoung?
Yeah.
DeYoung. Sorry.
DeYoung.
Yeah. DeYoung. That's not how you don't say it like that?
Oh, you got
DeYoung.
It. DeYoung.
No, just DeYoung.
Yeah.
Just kind of, eh. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Dude, we're happy to have you, bro.
Dude, thank you for having me. Yeah. Seriously.
Absolutely. So Cohen came down to the office last week and we chopped it up, just popped in to visit. And we always love, you know, having individuals stop in and visit us. You know, that's special for us too, just like it is for anybody else that, you know, wants to come by and say hi. But not only the fact that he's an RBO Inner Circle member, that was just kind of a, you know, cherry on top, you know, having an Inner Circle member come visit us like that. But let's jump into it because your story was, you know, pretty interesting when we sat down with you and we started getting to know you a little bit, peeling back the onion. You were living in California not too long ago.
Yeah.
Right. Let's start the California living and then kind of talk about the transition to Utah. Why the hell we live in some town that's like 800 people or less or whatever it
on
is. On a good
day.
Yeah. Yeah. When there's a parade in town. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, long story short, it was the middle of the pandemic. And my neighborhood had multiple shootings going on. And, you know, I was screen printing out in my garage at the time. And, the final straw was there was full auto gunfire going right past me and going right past my daughter's bedroom. Mm. And at that point, you know, I was just fed up.
Yeah.
I said, I don't care what I'm going to do, but we are getting out of here. I refuse to let my daughter grow up in this. Mm. And so I just took a leap of faith and just started looking. Yeah. No plan, no real... Man, I'm getting emotional about it already.
Yeah. No, you're good, man.
No real plan, no real anything. I refused.
Just yeah. faith, man.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I would have sold my soul to get us out of that situation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we started looking, started selling, you know, put the house up for the market. My mom lived in Cedar City at the time. And
that's in Utah for those that don't know.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
He's like, this is a Utah podcast. You know, Cedar City, right? Yeah. Like another little town.
Yeah. It's like 45 minutes, you know, past us.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. A little more north.
Us. Yeah.
And then, she just happened to find this house, in this small town called Minersville. And when I say small, I mean small. We don't even have a stoplight. We have a little grocery store and a gas station.
Yeah. And there's more four-wheelers on the road than there are cars.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's awesome, though. I love it out there. But it had everything that I needed. A bigger house so that, you know, my growing family could thrive.
Yeah.
Some land and a shop in the back for my business. You know, knowing that me just moving out to the middle of nowhere – not knowing anybody, I knew that my overhead was going to be tight and I was going to have to keep it as low as possible.
Yeah.
So.
So how many years have you been screen printing? Because I want people to kind of get a gist of, you know, where you're at in your journey.
Sure. So I've been doing this for about 12 years.
Okay.
For the majority of it at the time I was doing it at night while working during the day. And then I would, also, I got started in this, playing in a death metal band. You know, the screaming, drum sounding like a machine gun kind of stuff.
Were you a singer?
No, drums. I played drums.
I was going to say, give us a little.
Something you can't understand, right?
Like, I did some backup vocals, but I'm not a
vocals guy.
No.
We used to build, bro, believe it or not, we had one of our accountants here. I'd go in his office and he was listening to stuff like that.
Like death metal?
You know, remember Jared? He'd be in there. I'm like, how do you listen to that while you were working?
It seems like such a distraction.
Hey, but some people love it.
For me, honestly, like it gives the opposite effect of what you'd think. You know, like people think, oh, it's so angry. It would just make me angry.
Yeah.
There's times when I'm so frustrated in life that I will put on an album and by the end of the album, I'm smiling.
Yeah.
And it's just because of the energy and the... You can feel the frustration from some of the singers in the songs that you can relate to it in a sense. So it's almost for a lot of people who listen to metal, they'll understand like it makes you happy.
It's a thing, right? Like I don't understand it, but I always thought it was random that one of our accountants of all personality types would be in there jamming out to some metal.
Yeah. Accountant death metal. not normal, right?
We got deadly accountants.
You were in the band, you know, screaming stuff that nobody could understand except for demons in your soul at the time, you know. Pretty much, right? Because you're upset, frustrated, and like the demons get calmed down by hearing other ones screaming.
Yep. You know?
So, did you start screen printing just based upon the fact that, you know, you were making shirts for the band while you guys were traveling and on the road, that like, that's how it kicked off?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We were, you know, subbing it out to screen printers at the time and I made the best decision and the worst decision of my life, as far as going, okay, well, how hard could it be?
Yeah.
And I went all in.
You underestimated how difficult it was?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to YouTube University.
Yeah.
Taught myself. Spent 2 weeks just trying to even understand how the process even worked. Mm-hmm. After that, I fell in love as soon as it clicked.
After that, you started messing up t-shirts and you're like, a little tweak this, a little tweak it, you know?
Yeah.
Then slowly got better and better and better and fell in love with the process. Huh?
Yep. Yep. And then, you know, eventually I had to grow up. And so the screen printing, still stayed. I had to, you know, stop touring as much and, you know, have
a family.
So
did you meet your lady on the road or?
No.
Like how did it go from, you know, my guess is you were single, you know, doing the headbanging stuff or whatever, heavy metal stuff, and then you met somebody and, you know, is that how, like, you exited the band or did the band just fizzle out and then you met somebody, started having a family or what's going on there?
So we met, well, actually, I knew her in high school, but when we re-met after high school, I actually didn't recognize her at first. But we met at some random birthday party with some of my band members at the time. And she was actually really supportive of it. She helped out quite a bit for a while I would go tour or play shows. Like she'd be the merch girl sometimes and help out there. Her and I dated for a long time before we got married. And then after the band kind of fizzled out and stuff, we were still together. And eventually we got married and then started having kids.
Yeah. Mm. And then you started understanding that in business, like your clientele couldn't be just the people on the road, right? The bands, other bands out there. Right. But that, I mean, dude, I actually went home and I told my wife, I was like, that's something else. But like, I told you before you left, I was like, bro, I'm always freaking buy merch from the bands now. Right. And then you were like, dude, not only is that whole industry cutthroat, right, as far as competitors go, but like now even like the venues are like,
absolutely,
you know, they're like, you know, basically taking as much as they can from these bands, even trying to sell their merch out there. Right?
Yeah. There's a, you know, I've been slowly shifting my business over towards businesses more than bands. But even for the bands, it's hard. A lot of venues are taking huge merch cuts now. And when I would tour, and let me just say, you know, I say tour, like it was all self-funded. Like we didn't have any, you know, major record label or anything like that.
Did you guys pack in a van or a bus or something like that?
Bunch of smelly dudes in a van.
Yeah. Shower once a week.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
You know, yeah. Eat maybe once a day here or there where you could catch a meal.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, kind of tying into the screen printing was the...
Did you guys party hard? Like, were you a big... Like, did you drink at one point pretty heavily?
Not heavily. I mean, I did drink.
Yeah. I mean, you were heavy metal, bro. Right. Like, I would figure you would be heavy drinking.
Yeah, it's...
You know? Like life on the road. That's what they advertise, right? Like, I don't know.
I was the driver a lot of times too. Oh. So I,
okay. He's responsible.
You can play drums as long as you drive.
Yeah. I had to be more, I had to be more the responsible one, but you know, yeah,
that stuff was there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. It was. But yeah, you know, you sell a t-shirt and then you could buy a burger for the night versus nothing at all. So
yeah,
when I taught myself, I was trying to save a couple extra bucks per shirt so that we just had a little more when we'd be on the road.
So you can get the fries with it. Huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Splurge and get, you know, a large instead of just the dollar menu stuff.
Dollar menu nares, dude.
Right.
when did you know like, okay, I can't just keep supporting these bands and doing their merch, 'cause you know, they're scraping by and have to go after a different type of client.
Sure. It was actually during COVID when everything just shut down, especially when I was in California. Like, there was nothing.
No bands playing.
No bands, nothing. Yeah. You know, I lost like 95% of my business at the time. Like, there was just nothing. So ever since then, I've been slowly just...
Was that part of the reason why you moved as well?
Not really.
There's the gunfire, you know, bands aren't touring. Or was it just strictly like...
It was strictly just
get it's us safety.
Out of here. Yeah, yeah. It was strictly just get me out of here, get my family out of here, because I ship all over the country. So it didn't really matter where I was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, I refuse to let my daughter grow up in this.
Yeah.
So let's go.
Yeah.
So you went all in on Pulse merch like a couple years ago, 2-3 years ago, something like that. Like, you've been doing the screen printing thing for a long time.
Yeah, about 4 or 5 years ago now. I've been full-time.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, let's talk a little bit about some of the struggles, right? Because, you know, we've got requests before, like, hey, you know, I'm a startup. Get more people that are, like, neck deep in the process on the podcast, right? And so when we were sitting there talking last week and you're like, you know, hey, it's tough. You know, I'm over here being kind of a one-man band, right? You're over there trying to play the drums and scream and the guitar and do the merch and, you know, like all of it, right? And that's a difficult, difficult phase of business. And that's why I was like, yo, dude, you should come on and tell your story, because I think it'll resonate with a lot of people that are at that point in business, because that's the make it or break it point, right? Because you're literally at the brink sometimes, mentally, emotionally, physically. You're just exhausted.
Metal saved my life.
Yeah.
And then you turn on the metal. You know, speak to the demons. Calm the demons.
Yeah, calm the demons. Okay.
Shut up, demons. Faith.
Get some
forward.
Work done. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, like, let's talk about that a little bit, because you're like, you know, some months it's, you know, I have some good months, and some months it's tough to pay the mortgage. And that's just kind of part of the process of building a business. You could go to a 9-to-5 or do something that's just kind of common and get enough to just kind of get by each month versus having to go, you know, in the red sometimes and then obviously making money being in the black. So
sure.
We'll talk about that, you know, the mindset that you have right now and where you're at in business. You said some nights you're staying up till what, like 2 a.m, stuff like stuff
sometimes
like
all
that.
Night.
Yeah.
The entire night, not even getting any sleep. Yeah. I mean, right now, like,
you're in it.
I'm in the trenches. Yeah. I'm in it. I'm doing the work of, you know, 4 or 5 people. And that's not a badge of honor that I actually want to show off or anything, because that's stupid. It's not sustainable.
Yeah.
You know,
but it's necessary
absolutely
to get to a certain point, right?
Absolutely.
The hard part is figuring out, when do you bring on the first and the second and the third? Like, that's where it starts getting a little difficult, right? Because it's scary.
Yeah. And that's exactly where I'm at right now. Yeah. You know, like, just even like this month, I'm actually having a really good month. But just last month, I couldn't even pay the mortgage, just like you said. So to try to find help and, you know, get somebody on and, you know, take on that responsibility as well and have an employee, like, that's a big deal when I'm barely, you know, keeping afloat. Like, just to be real, like, I'm scraping by, but I'm doing it.
Yeah.
You know? So
what's the toughest part? Is it just battling the mental side of it? Is it, you know, wondering if you're going crazy. You know, you've got a family to provide for. You've got children. You've got twins on the way.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. You know, you're just like, oh, don't remind me right now.
Yeah,
huh?
Don't remind me right now. Yeah, it's, you know, over the last 2 years, ever since I've been out here, being in such a small town, it's allowed me to actually just really get to learn myself and get to really learn who I am, not have so many things, not have so many distractions. The hardest thing I think I can work. That's fine. I'm more than happy to work. I'm more than happy to put in the hours.
Yeah.
The hardest thing I think for me is the balance of everything. Hmm. Trying to figure out, okay, where should I put the money so that it is getting the most bang for my buck, basically. Like, how can I make sure that I'm paying the bills, spending time with my family, and also figuring out how I can grow. That's the biggest challenge that I have right now.
Yeah.
But you and I had a discussion, like, maybe I just need to hire, you know, a kid that, you know, can come in on weekends or something and help me out there. And
yeah,
you know, so that's just kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, man. It's like, you know, you leave somewhere like California where you've got so many people around you. Right. And it's like, you know, there's pros and cons to everything. There's different hard, you know?
Absolutely.
So it's like, okay, well, like in California, I would be miserable where I'm at, but I would have all these people to either hire or network with, or, you know what I mean? Bring into my ecosystem and different clients or employees or whatever it is, right? You have all this stuff around you, but then you're constantly in a different type of busy. It's
sure.
Like, you know, but then also you're where, you know, in a small town where it poses different challenges. It's
absolutely.
Like, wow, there's not really a whole lot of people to pull from, you know, networking and stuff like that's not as great. You know, it's like you
sure.
can ship anywhere from where you're at, but it's like, you're going into Cedar and St. George and, you know, you're traveling quite a bit to come down and, you know, hustle the right kind of business out
sure.
here. But
yeah,
but then you're also not, you know, living in California.
No.
So,
yeah.
So there's like these pros and cons and different kinds of hard to your situation, but
absolutely,
you know,
yeah, the way how I try to think about it, at least in that aspect, is, you know, yeah, it's hard. I can go network and I can meet people. And yeah. once they actually see my work, like the proof is in the ink,
yeah.
I like to say.
Yeah.
Once they see my work, I know that I can get the business. But at the same time, just being out there in the middle of nowhere, I know is a good environment for my family. And
yeah,
that's my biggest priority.
You get lonely out there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't have, like, I have friends in Cedar City that I've made, but
yeah.
I don't have any like true friends out in Minersville. Like I'm by myself the majority of the time.
Yeah.
So that is a challenge, but bring in the metal, right? but
do you ever not bring in the metal and you just let the demons or let what needs to be and let what needs to come up. And then you address those as they come up, because here's what I believe. Again,
sure.
This is my opinion, right? Like I'm not Jordan Peterson or some shit, but my opinion and my belief is that in this day and age that we stay distracted
sure.
99% of the time. And I think that the answers that we seek are within, right? Like
absolutely.
Imagine like, back in the day, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, the scholars and the people that we still read their quotes right now that went off into the woods and had no distraction, no nothing but a pen and paper, we're still reading some of those individuals' quotes today because they're getting almost something divine within, some information within, right?
Sure.
And nowadays, like it's almost like it's purposeful where we're distracted all the time. This ad or this or social media or, you know, friends or loud music or whatever it is,
just all the coping
to where it's external stuff that's keeping our brain like stimulated, overstimulated. I read something the other day that like living in a city that's really loud and busy isn't healthy mentally because it keeps your brain overstimulated. It never has time to really calm down. Even when you're sleeping, you hear the woo, 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 you know,
sure.
honking and this, that, the other, it never just gets to, you know, almost like, you know, waves in the water. It never gets to be still.
Sure.
Right.
And yeah, I have I've let the demons just take their toll on me.
Yeah.
But I've also found that even while listening to the music, because I'm a drummer, I'm listening to the drums and I'm listening to the riffs and the beats. I'm not really focused on like what the singer's saying or anything like
that. You can't understand that shit anyways, can you? Can you understand it if you've been in the band?
Yeah.
Like all the screaming, you know what they're saying?
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's like another language, man.
It is. It almost is.
But, that shit's deaf to me, so.
But I mean, just even listening to it, it's almost like a meditation kind of thing in a sense too, because it's not just a distraction. Like, because while the music is going on, I'm thinking about the demons that I'm having issues with, and having the music play is almost like allowing my brain to.
You're distracting the demons to where this side of your brain actually gets to analyze why that's over there. Like, it's almost two parts of the brain.
Almost,
distracting the noise so that you could try to solve the problem almost.
Absolutely, yeah. Like the frustration and everything, like just listening to it and getting, it's almost like, you know, I'm trying to find the right words.
The demons are... They overpower the other logical voice.
Right, absolutely.
And if they're distracted, you could hear the logical side a little bit more.
Absolutely.
And get deeper in thought.
Absolutely.
Like, I know for me, sometimes, like, even when we record videos or whatever, some people will see, like, I have headphones in, and it's almost like two sides of the brain, like, trying to, like, overtake each other. Mm-hmm. But when I put music in, I can actually speak my thoughts a little bit better.
Exactly.
Because it's like one side of my brain that's screaming at the other side. This side's distracted listening while this is determining what's actually being said. Right?
Pinpoint focus with it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
It is. I don't understand how it works. I just know that it does for me.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. It's interesting because, you know, like what you're saying, right? People aren't like leaning into stuff and they're finding these distractions.
Yeah.
That could be music. That could be a lot of different things, right?
Alcohol could be whatever. Yeah.
Then you do these. Leaning in is sitting with those thoughts and doing introspection and questioning things, right? Without any distraction. That's why you hear about these exercises like 4 hours on a rock or the 12-hour walk no phone, no music, no anything. It's like just really, truly leaning in to those thoughts, to those demons, whatever you want to call them, right?
Yeah.
Whatever they are, right? It's like really leaning into it. And I think you're right. I mean, that's where people come up with like the quotes that we're still leaning today or the self, you know, the understanding of certain things of the human experience, right? But it's literally getting in that environment without any distractions and just really leaning into those thoughts.
Well, they said like Bill Gates or whoever it was, I don't know if it was, or Steve Jobs, would go out into the forest with his notepad for like 4 days or five days and shut everything off and like tap into something to where he would have a notebook full of ideas after, right? Like just removing everything. It's the book said something about our forefathers were able to lead the way that they led because they had way less distractions. Right. Like we sometimes look back and say, oh, they had it so hard, but at the exact same time, there's pros and cons to the fact that they didn't have distractions and all they had to do was survive another day. Yeah. And, you know, they the thoughts that they had kind of just came to them because they didn't have the internet where it was like hyper information and overload. The only information that they really had was kind of divine information, tapping internally, maybe reading some books here and there, but you had to really fight for information. Now we're overstimulated with information, right? And everybody's opinion on the internet with that piece of information and how they dissect it, right? And so there's pros and cons to living back then and to living now. Yeah, but the question is can you balance the information and the overstimulation with, you know, being quiet, getting alone? Like I do believe that you being out there in the middle of nowhere by yourself is a huge blessing, right?
Absolutely.
Like long term, you know, there's going to be lonely times or whatever, but you're out of the distractions of California and you you finally got to a point where you said, okay, my value system says my family safety above everything.
Absolutely.
You know, if I've got to go into the middle of nowhere in, you know, an 800 person town in that nobody knows about. I mean, we live a couple hours away. I didn't even know really, I heard of it. I didn't know where it was on the map, you know, like that's just kind of how desolate it is, right?
Sure.
To a certain extent. So, but you're willing to do anything once your value system and your value structures is actually set up and you say, okay, family safety, you know, like you got emotional, like it didn't matter what needed to happen. Something was going to happen because you valued that.
Absolutely.
It was such a high priority, right?
Absolutely. I didn't care about the business. I would figure something out if I had to, like, I was just going to go.
Yeah. There's something, you know, even above and beyond the values, right? Like, obviously the values are what motivated you to do it, but it takes an extreme amount of faith, you know, absolutely, to be like, okay, well, I know I'm capable and I'm going to take my family into this new environment. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if this is still going to be the business. This is one thing I know how to do, but I'm going to figure something out to take care of them no matter what. Right.
Sure. Yep.
And dude, like, you got to give yourself a lot of credit for that. Cause there's a lot of people that don't do that. Even if they are like, dude, I'll do anything to like make sure my family is safe. Like there's bullets whizzing past my daughter's bedroom. Right. Like there's still a lot of people, but I don't know how I'm going to take care of them. Like they stay in that for so long because they don't have that level of faith of like, I'll figure it out.
Right. I'll do anything but that.
Yeah.
It's kind of, there's always a but that.
I'll do anything
for
my daughter. I'll do anything for my wife.
I'll do anything to get healthy except for exercise and eat healthy. Anything. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, yeah.
Kind of there's that concept, that. Right?
Yeah.
Thoughts of wanting to quit. You know, is that you know, a daily thing, a weekly thing? Like everybody gets it.
Sure.
Gets it. I get it. It doesn't matter like what level you're at. Like, life happens. Shit happens. It is tough. This is entrepreneurship.
Sure.
There's plenty of times where it's not fun. It's not cool. It's not sexy. I know on social media it might show that. But, you know, that's a little snippet. It's almost like having kids. You know, 90% of the time it's tough. You know, 10% of the time they're cuddling. They love you. And that 10% makes the 90% worth it, right?
Absolutely.
And so that's kind of my analogy for entrepreneurship is like 90% of it's muck. You know, and you're hoping to touch that 10% where you're just in a groove every so often. And when you do, it feels like it's worth it.
Sure.
And then you're back in the muck and you're like, dude, questioning everything again, right?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I like to say if I'm not firing myself almost every day, then it's a pretty good day. So, like, there's plenty of times where I'm sitting here, you know, at 3 a.m, 4 a.m, where I'm, you know, it's not sustainable, but I'm doing what I have to do to make it work. And I'm questioning, like, I could just go get a 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. I could. But I know that if I were to do that, I would let this part of me die. And this is something that I know without – I'm kind of a walking contradiction in a sense. Mm-hmm.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's you know, Mr. Death Metal, crazy screaming stuff. But then I've also had some faith, like, you know, some – religious things that have really changed my perspective on things. I don't want to go too deep into them just because they're so personal. But I've had some really special moments and I know for a fact that I'm meant to do what I'm doing. Mm. And maybe some people will kind of just, you know, shove that off and be like, oh, that's blah, 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 blah. No, I really know.
Nobody else needs to know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You need to know. Right? Right. Nobody else is having to live your life. Right.
Right. And I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
And that's powerful enough to.
That's powerful
keep you
enough
going
to keep
to propel you forward on those days that you just don't want to show up anymore.
Yeah, and I remember even I can't even remember where I got it from. It was either being in the Inner Circle group or listening to you guys one time. But somebody said, you know, on those days that you want to quit, just tell yourself, just not today.
Yeah.
And I've had to tell myself that daily sometimes.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I mean, thinking about not quitting for years is tough when you're in the muck.
Absolutely.
But if you're just like, dude, not today.
Yeah.
Just don't quit today.
Just don't do it
like
today.
Like anybody cannot quit today.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It's almost like the whole, you know, drinking or NAA, just not today.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, and you're like, sometimes that's the way that you survive to hopefully get to the point where you're thriving, right?
Sure.
And yeah. But if you're not willing to go through that, then are you really deserving of the times where you could thrive, right? Like, because that's just kind of the price that every business owner has had to pay, is the dark moments, the lonely moments, the just don't quit today moments. And let's be real, there's a lot of people that fall off.
Sure.
You know, maybe at 3 a.m. when that thought hits, they didn't have the faith that you have to continue to press on. They don't have the resilience that you have to show up again the next day when the data from the day before says you would be an absolute idiot to show up again in this environment for another day.
Oh, I mean, right. Just look at the last 2 years. I'm an absolute idiot as just from looking at the data itself. Move to a brand new place, not know anybody, bring your business with you, and try to get it going in a town of 800 people.
Yeah.
Like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it.
I saw a clip from Donald Trump today. Well, not from Donald Trump, but it was a Donald Trump clip, right? Yeah. And it was, he's talking to this room of you know, college-age students, you know, and he's just like, don't quit. You know, that's just, I know that's just so simple.
So simple.
Right? But he's like, I've seen so many brilliant people that, they quit right before they're about to just have that amazing moment, that breakthrough, that new trajectory, whatever it is, right? And he's like, that's really what it comes down to. It's like, I've seen so many idiots that are just see it through. They just don't quit, and they end up having this life-changing success. And he's like, that's the message. Just don't quit, right? But you were saying, like, I'm an idiot sometimes, right? I've been doing this thing, right? But it's like,
dude, on paper, yeah, really anybody would look at it,
right? Like,
sure,
it don't matter, like, how logic, every single thing that you look at, like, whether you think it's a gift or not, there's pros and cons to it, right? Like,
sure,
you could be such a highly logical person. Well, guess what? That also means you're probably highly critical, right? And so a lot of times that holds you back, right? Whether it's with people or yourself or whatever, or you're a perfectionist, right? You could be a highly creative person, but then you're just not organized. And so you don't really bring things to the finish line. And so becoming aware of, like, the pros and cons of every gift, like, you know, like you say, I'm an idiot, man, look at what I'm doing here, but I'm just not willing to quit or give up. Well, that's not really like being an idiot. You're right, just like, you're just like not willing to give up and put yourself through to make sure that you do bring things to the finish line or get to that next level, right?
Sure.
Rather than overthink it like everybody else. Because if you were highly logical, then maybe you would be highly critical of yourself right now. And you'd be like, oh, this is just not making sense. I'm going to go get a 9-to-5. But then you could be literally giving up right before that breakthrough.
Yeah, there's a quote very similar to that. I can't even remember off the top of my head who said it or anything, but the person said something along the lines of, the reason why I'm successful is because I didn't quit compared to, you know, these other people. Like, I just stayed one more day or something like that. Like, I'm totally butchering it, but it's right along the same lines of that. The other driving factor for me is when I had a day job, I did pest control for 10 years.
Sold it or sprayed it?
Both. Yeah. I had a route. I was commuting through the Bay Area, you know, 2-hour commute each way. And we had weekly meetings. And at one meeting, they were like, hoorah, like, you're the backbone of the company. We need you, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not joking when I say this. The next week was, you are easily replaceable. And, you know, basically along the lines of, we're all disappointed in you and you all suck. And I swore to myself that I would never work for somebody again after having to deal with that.
Yeah.
So that's the second part of why I just won't give up, because I refuse to work for somebody else.
So you'd rather have your own voice say, hoorah, on the good days.
I would rather.
And then the next day, you suck. Quit. You know, it's like, at least it's in my own head and I can kind of control the narrative and the thought process.
I am my own slave.
Environments,
yeah. Right? Yeah. Where it's
like, you're only as good as your numbers that week.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
Yeah,
and it's like the next week you're, you know, hero to zero, bro, you know? So I totally get that.
Yeah.
So, well, they're like, yo, if a quarterback starts throwing, you know, a couple interceptions a game for 2 or 3 games, what happens? They're on the bench, right? And so it's like that type of environment. If you're not performing at your peak all the time, you're now no longer valuable. see you later, right? No matter what good you've done, right? That only will carry you so far in certain environments or industries, which, you know, if that's the way they choose to do it, then that's the way they choose to do it.
There's a gift in it, right? Like, obviously, you now have the experience of that.
Absolutely.
Being like, you know what? So that's going to give you the ability to either help some entrepreneur on their journey, or as you build your team, assemble your team, be like, I know I didn't like being treated that way.
Oh,
I'm going to try and lift my team up a different way, right? Rather than making them feel like they're only as good as their numbers. It does require, I'm going to have to call them out when they're not producing.
Oh, sure.
But I'm going to be there to help them instead of
I'm not going to be
demoralize them, right?
Yeah. I'm going to, that was the thing. I was like, if I ever get an employee, like, I want to make sure they're taken care of and they're happy here. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to, you know, just sugarcoat everything. And, you know, if they mess up, well, you know, we got to call them out on it and teach them, but I'm not going to belittle them, you know?
So. I would honestly say that's like one of our bigger attributes of like the success we have had, you know, with our growth of our companies, you know, and we hit our rocky times and our tough times all the time and we fall off the wagon and we have to kind of like get back on it and stuff like anyone else. But, like, dude, we've always loved to like pay well. We've always loved to give people like advancement opportunities.
That's
like,
what I want.
You know, the people that want it, the step up for, like, we're quick to reward. You know what I mean? And,
sure.
You know, sometimes we let people down and they've let us down. But overall, dude, like, I would say that that really is one of the many things that like has made us kind of more successful is like,
sure.
Like, dude, we really love seeing people freaking grow. You know, so and we encourage it.
Yeah, we love to give an environment to where they feel appreciated. You've seen the hallways,
absolutely,
right?
I love it here. This is awesome.
The break room, we worked for an individual that had a fully stock like fridge or freezer or whatever back in the day when we were sales guys. And when you're 19 and you're a sales guy and you're just, you know, trying to make it in the world, that meant a lot.
Dude,
throw a hot pocket in and you're good to go. You get back on the phone and continue to make sales. And so when we built out this office, it's like, you know, we spend $1,200 a month just in break room food to keep it fully stocked. We have the country club memberships. Like, we try to do advancement opportunities. We have an employee of the month that gets paid $1,000 bonus. Like,
that's awesome.
We do as much as we possibly can to say, like, we love you and care about you. That doesn't necessarily mean that there's not standards or values that need to be held, right? And if you can't hold those standards and values, then that's a new story. But at the exact same time, it's not tearing down people. It's just like facts. Like,
sure,
you were supposed to make this call didn't go out. What's up? Yeah. You know,
right.
A lot different. And holding a standard and holding somebody accountable versus just creating a shitty work environment.
I can just see Cohen out there, bro. He's like, when you asked him, did you spray or did you sell? He's like, both. You know, I see him out there spraying houses and being like, knocking on the neighbor's doors, being like, yo, I'm here spraying your neighbor's door. Let me get your shit.
That's
right?
Exactly what I had to do.
That's the type of person that we've always loved to promote here as well. So like, if that was our company, our goal wouldn't be to like treat you like you're only as good as your numbers. Cause I guarantee you, like, there's probably people on the sales team that are being like, dude, he's overstepping. He's not supposed to be in this role. Why is he selling deals? He should have to flip those to us, right? Like, just that mentality, right? And I'm not saying that's exactly what you did.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, like, somebody that's like, dude, I'm here spraying anyway. I'm going to go knock on those few doors and see if I can spray for them real quick. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the type of people who are like, dude, that's going to be like a future sales manager here, right? And we're not going to treat them like they're only as good as their numbers or how many houses they get sprayed that day. Like, they're solving a problem. They're stepping outside the box. Like, you know what I mean? So I think that's pretty freaking cool, actually. That's a cool part of the story, honestly, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Like, that you were like doing both, bro. You're like, but I totally understand why you're also like, dude, like, I don't want to work for someone else when that's the, like, that's the environment, is like, you're only as good as your numbers that week. And so it's such a gift that you now have that experience.
Absolutely.
To be able to like grow things the way that you would like to have been treated as an employee that was stepping outside the box and, you know, solving problems and overproducing. I think it's cool.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I think Cohen's a badass, you know, and that's what, and yeah, you try, dude, you try and you do, right? Like, I think it is badass to continue to show up on the days that you feel like quitting. Like, it's not badass for the individuals that want to quit. That
you
just,
do though,
that
bro. Fold,
like you have sense. More of a choice than you realize, and you're choosing to show up every single day in the muck, and you're doing it with your head held high. Like, that is badass. You're a great father. You're a great husband, and you're doing things for your family that I would say a lot of people wouldn't be willing to do. Spending, you know, you know, money to move from California to a small town, to staying up at 3 a.m, sometimes all night, to then take care of your kids, making sure that your wife is taken care of. You know, I know that there's things going on there, especially, you know, now having twins. Like you have a lot going on at one given time, and you're dealing with it very, very well. So, you know, I commend you and take my, and that right there is badass. I think that you are more of a man than somebody that's worth millions of dollars, that's just a piece of shit, that doesn't have his values or his standards in line with what's right versus what's wrong, right? And so you are badass. Well, you're not trying. You are, bro.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. And that's why we want to have you on the podcast. We want to be able to support individuals that are in the muck, that are in the fight, that are showing up every single day. You know, so like
putting themselves out there, like, bro, you came down to meet with us and we're like, hey, let's put an order in with you. Like, you know, like anyone, dude, there's 5 different merch companies that you probably know with a stone throw away. Yeah, you know what I mean? But we're like, dude, we want to put an order in with you because, dude, you're a badass.
Yeah.
What does the word pulse mean to you? Why did you come up with that name?
So when the idea of screen printing started, a band that I was in at the time had an album called The Malignant Pulse.
Yeah.
And it just kind of clicked, just pulse merch. Like that's just how it came about.
Yeah.
So
I like it, dude. Like I've heard that saying before where, you know, like as a leader or a visionary, like you are the pulse of your company.
Sure.
You know, as a leader of a family, like you are the pulse of your family. Like if everybody's acting like entitled, complacent assholes, it's because you are as well, right? You are the pulse of your company, right? And so like I think it's kind of cool. I didn't know if it had some meaning around like that, like where it's like you're the pulse on the industry or
no, you know? For a while I had a tagline where I'd say, you know, it's the lifeblood of your brand. You know, but yeah, that it just came about and it clicked and I liked the name. So
That's cool.
Yeah. We wanted to support you. So we put in an order obviously with Cohen and we wanted to have him on the podcast so that you guys could hear his story and be able to support, you know, another small business owner that's out there trying to support his family. So how would somebody go about connecting with you if they wanted to connect with you, put an order in, you know, all that good stuff?
Sure. So, easiest way to get a quote is just go onto my website, pulsemerch.com. All the social medias, it's at pulsemerch. So PULSEMERCH.
Yeah.
You can see what I'm doing on Instagram. I like to post stuff on there.
Is it mainly t-shirts or do you do hats? Do you do like, what's the range that you're working with here in terms of merchandise?
So my main focus is like t-shirt printing, sweatshirts, things like that. But I do offer embroidery as well. There's a shop where we just kind of trade work back and forth.
Yeah.
And he's going to be retiring soon, so I will be bringing embroidery in-house. But it's mainly t-shirt printing.
Okay. Yeah.
What about like the corporate stuff, man? Like you saw our hallways or like you go into gas stations, you see all this stuff up that some merch companies make. Do you do stuff like that?
Like the window decals and things like that?
Dude, end caps, window decals.
Like what Brent does?
Yeah. Fat
heads.
So I can get it done. But it's not something that I really focus on.
Mainly shirts, dude.
Mainly shirts. Yeah. That's where my margins is. That's where I can actually make some money.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
The proof is in the ink, dude. So you guys got to try them out, you know?
Well, I saw that picture that you posted on the stories this morning with the quarter size or dime or whatever it was. And it was like super small, but like the detail on it, on the print was like incredible. And you're like, let's see you have this type of detail on this small of a thing. Right. And so you do an amazing job, amazing work. You take pride in it. And, you know, that's something that we definitely respect. So if you guys are looking to order some t-shirts, make sure you support our guy here. Show him some real business owners love. Other than that, bro, we appreciate you coming down
and being on the show,
man.
Thank you. Seriously.
It was awesome. And you were awesome. So we appreciate it.
You got any final thoughts for entrepreneurs?
Just don't quit.
Just don't quit.
Just don't quit. Right. Yep. Yeah. When your brain says, hang up the hat today, pal. Not today.
Yeah, not today.
Just not today.
That's it. So. Just not today.
Guys, we appreciate you tuning in to another episode of Real Business Owners Podcast. Make sure you're rating and reviewing. Other than that, keep kicking ass. God bless.
Peace.